Death has a peculiar way of finding us, especially when we encounter our own reflection in another. Vow of Deception, the psychological thriller that's been dominating book talk for months, explores this ancient superstition with a modern mafia twist. The novel has garnered praise from celebrities like Megan Fox, who called it deliciously twisted, and has sparked heated debates about identity and possession across social media platforms. What makes this book particularly fascinating is how it blends elements of psychological suspense with the dark romance genre that has captivated millions of readers worldwide. As the first installment in Kent's best-selling Deception trilogy, it introduces readers to a world where identity is fluid, memories are unreliable, and love and violence dance in dangerous proximity. The story begins with a haunting prologue, a woman with blood-soaked hands in a forest, convinced she's committed murder, though she has no memory of it. This disorienting introduction sets the tone for the entire narrative, where nothing is quite as it seems. We then meet Winter Kavanaugh, a homeless woman struggling to survive New York's brutal winter. Her life changes forever when she encounters Adrian Volkov, a high-ranking member of the Russian mafia known as the Bratva. Their initial meeting seems coincidental. He saves her from being hit by a van, but Adrian's intense gray eyes suggests something more calculated. Winter's precarious existence becomes even more dangerous when the director of her shelter is murdered and she becomes the prime suspect. With nowhere to turn, she's essentially kidnapped by Adrian, who makes her an unusual proposition. Become his wife. Not marry him, become his wife, who, according to Adrian, died weeks earlier. The most disturbing part? Adrian's dead wife looks exactly like Winter, only with dark hair instead of blonde. This premise explores the psychological concept of doppelgangers, identical doubles that have fascinated cultures for centuries. In many traditions, meeting your doppelganger is an omen of death. Kent masterfully weaves this superstition into a modern thriller, asking what happens when someone is forced to become another person's double. The novel examines how our identities are shaped not just by our memories and experiences, but by how others perceive and treat us. Winter's resistance to becoming Leah represents our fundamental human need to maintain our sense of self, even when everything around us challenges that identity. Adrian Volkov represents the quintessential anti-hero, dangerous, calculating, and morally ambiguous. His character embodies the power dynamics that drive the narrative. As a high-ranking Bratva member, he's accustomed to absolute control, and he approaches his relationship with Winter with the same authoritarian mindset. He systematically erases Winter's identity, transforming her physically by dyeing her blonde hair brown, dressing her in his wife's clothes, and insisting she answer to his wife's name. The psychological control Adrian exerts is particularly disturbing. He uses a combination of threats, punishments, and occasional tenderness to break down Winter's resistance. When she insists on being called by her real name, he counts it as disobedience, deserving punishment. When she defies his orders, he responds with calculated discipline designed to assert his dominance. This pattern of behavior mirrors real-world abusive relationships, where control is maintained through unpredictable cycles of cruelty and kindness. What makes this dynamic especially complex is Winter's physical response to Adrian. Despite her mental resistance, her body often betrays her, responding to his touch even as she fights to maintain her separate identity. This internal conflict creates a fascinating psychological study of how trauma, desire, and survival instincts can become entangled. Winter's struggle represents the battle between physical responses and psychological autonomy. How can we maintain our sense of self when our bodies seem to betray our minds? The power imbalance extends beyond their intimate relationship. Adrian controls every aspect of Winter's new existence, where she goes, what she wears, who she speaks to. His surveillance is constant, with security cameras monitoring her movements and guards reporting her activities. This total control creates a claustrophobic atmosphere that heightens the psychological tension throughout the novel. Jeremy, Adrian's 5-year-old son, provides an emotional core to the story that fundamentally reshapes the power dynamics between Winter and Adrian. When Jeremy first sees Winter, he mistakes her for his mother, whispering, "Mommy?" A heartbreaking moment that not only triggers Winter's memories of her own lost child, but also establishes the complex emotional triangle that will define their relationships. This initial interaction sets up a pattern of mistaken identity and emotional substitution that reverberates throughout the narrative. The boy's presence transforms Winter's captivity into something more nuanced and complicated. Unlike his father's calculated manipulation, Jeremy offers Winter pure, unconditional affection. Their relationship develops organically through small, intimate moments. They take silly selfies with funny filters, dance to Spanish pop music in the kitchen, build elaborate blanket forts, and share secret jokes. Winter finds herself genuinely caring for this child who misses his mother, creating an agonizing moral dilemma. She desperately wants to escape Adrian's control, but leaving would mean abandoning Jeremy, who has already experienced the profound trauma of losing his mother once. Jeremy serves as a humanizing lens through which we view Adrian's character. Through the child's innocent observations, we glimpse Adrian as more than just a mafia enforcer. Jeremy casually mentions their weekend fishing trips, their tradition of making pancakes shaped like dinosaurs, and how his father still reads to him every night, revealing a more nurturing, vulnerable side to Adrian's personality. These details prevent Adrian from becoming a one-dimensional villain and add layers of emotional complexity to the story. Even Adrian's most violent tendencies are tempered by his genuine love for his son, creating a fascinating contradiction in his character. The child's presence catalyzes the formation of an artificial family unit that begins to feel increasingly authentic to Winter. Despite knowing her situation is built on coercion and deception, she finds herself naturally falling into the role of mother and wife. She helps Jeremy with his homework, soothes his nightmares, and advocates for him with his father, all actions that blur the line between performance and genuine care. This gradual transformation raises profound questions about the nature of family bonds. Can authentic connections form even when the foundation is built on lies? Jeremy's innocent acceptance of Winter as his new mother forces both readers and characters to grapple with the complex nature of chosen family versus biological ties. The emotional anchor Jeremy provides also highlights the cyclical nature of trauma and healing. While Winter initially sees him as a painful reminder of her own losses, their relationship eventually becomes a source of healing for both of them. His presence forces Winter to confront her past while simultaneously offering her a chance at emotional redemption, creating a complex web of love, guilt, and responsibility that drives the story forward. Memory, its reliability, malleability, and power forms a central theme in Vow of Deception. Winter's nightmares blend past trauma with present fears, creating disturbing scenarios that feel as real as her waking life. In one particularly vivid dream, she experiences what she believes is sexual assault by Adrian, only to wake and discover it was entirely in her mind. These disorienting experiences blur the line between reality and imagination, making readers question what is actually happening. Winter's backstory emerges gradually through these nightmares and through conversations with Adrian. We learn she was once a ballet dancer whose career ended tragically. She lost her mother and her baby daughter, whose weak lungs couldn't sustain her life. These traumatic losses shaped Winter's identity and her survival instincts, making Adrian's attempt to erase her past particularly cruel. The novel also explores how trauma affects perception. Winter occasionally glimpses what she believes is a ghost, a pale woman with her own blue eyes watching her with rage. These visions, along with mysterious text messages from an unknown sender, suggest either supernatural elements or Winter's deteriorating mental state as she struggles to maintain her sense of self. The theme culminates in a shocking revelation. Winter discovers that Leah, Adrian's wife, whom she's been impersonating, isn't actually dead. She finds her in a hospital bed in the guest house, connected to machines, alive but unresponsive. This discovery forces Winter to confront the true nature of her role in Adrian's household and the moral implications of taking another woman's place. The Bratva provides more than just a dramatic backdrop for the story. It creates a complex, layered world with its own intricate rules, strict hierarchy, and ever-present dangers that directly impact the main characters' lives. Adrian's position within this criminal organization fundamentally shapes his behavior, decision-making processes, and the web of threats surrounding both him and Winter. The Brotherhood's influence extends beyond mere criminal activities into every aspect of its members' existence, creating an atmosphere where personal and professional boundaries blur dangerously. Kent offers readers deep insight into the Brotherhood structure, with Sergei Sokolov as the Pakan, supreme leader, and various captains beneath him, including Adrian. The organization operates through a sophisticated combination of calculated violence, extensive intelligence gathering, and carefully cultivated strategic alliances with other criminal groups like the Italian Mafia and various Eastern European syndicates. Adrian's particular strength lies in his vast information networks. He maintains his power and position by knowing more than anyone else, cultivating sources throughout the city's underground and legitimate businesses alike. His intelligence operation includes everything from high-tech surveillance to old-fashioned street informants. The Brotherhood's internal politics create constant external pressure on Adrian and Winter's relationship, adding layers of complexity to their already complicated dynamic. Vladimir, another ambitious Bratva captain, meticulously investigates the murder of Richard Green, the shelter director, and increasingly suspects Adrian's involvement. Meanwhile, Kirill, a particularly ruthless captain with a personal vendetta, seems to be orchestrating elaborate plots against Adrian, gathering allies and resources to challenge his position. These multifaceted threats force Adrian to maintain careful appearances at Brotherhood functions while simultaneously protecting his position, his territory, and his growing family. The Mafia setting also provides crucial context that justifies the extreme control Adrian exerts over Winter. In his dangerous world, enemies regularly exploit personal connections, making his seemingly excessive protective measures appear almost reasonable within the context of constant threat. Rival organizations have historically targeted family members for kidnapping, assassination, or leverage, creating an environment where trust becomes a rare and precious commodity. The constant danger from rival captains, competing criminal organizations, and even potential traitors within his own ranks creates a pressure cooker environment where the slightest vulnerability can prove fatal. This backdrop of perpetual threat adds depth to Adrian's character, explaining, though not necessarily justifying, his obsessive need to control and protect what he considers his. The sexual relationship between Adrian and Winter serves as both battlefield and bridge in their intricate power struggle. Their encounters are intensely charged, often blurring the line between punishment and pleasure, domination and desire. Adrian weaponizes sex as another form of control, demanding Winter acknowledge her responses to him even as she tries to maintain emotional distance, a dynamic that creates palpable tension in every intimate scene. His touch becomes both a threat and a promise, leaving Winter constantly off balance. What makes these scenes psychologically complex is Winter's deeply conflicted response to their encounters. While she maintains rigid mental barriers against Adrian, her body betrays her with an immediacy that both thrills and terrifies her. This creates an internal war between her physical desires and her fierce need to maintain her separate identity, a battle that plays out in vivid detail throughout their encounters. Her habit of biting her lip to silence her sounds during intimate moments becomes more than just a character quirk. It represents her final stronghold of defiance when her body surrenders in every other way. The blood she sometimes tastes serves as a sharp reminder of her determination to retain some measure of control. Adrian's obsessive fixation on hearing Winter's unrestrained voice during sex represents his larger goal of breaking through her carefully constructed defenses. Hide all you like, but I'll eventually bring you out, he threatens with characteristic intensity, not realizing she believes herself to be merely an empty shell with nothing for him to discover. This battle for vulnerability becomes central to their relationship dynamic. Adrian demands complete surrender, while Winter desperately guards what remains of herself. Their intimate moments become a complex dance of advance and retreat, with each small victory or surrender carrying deeper psychological significance. The novel doesn't shy away from exploring the complex psychology of desire in power-imbalanced relationships, delving into the murky waters of attraction, control, and consent. Winter's powerful attraction to Adrian, despite, or perhaps partially because of, his controlling behavior, raises uncomfortable questions about agency and desire. The narrative acknowledges these complexities through subtle details. Winter's racing pulse when Adrian enters a room, her simultaneous fear and anticipation of his touch, the way she both dreads and craves their encounters. Rather than offering simple answers or moral judgments, the story allows readers to grapple with these ambiguities themselves, presenting the relationship in all its complicated glory. The power dynamics extend beyond the bedroom, with every touch and glance becoming laden with meaning. Adrian's possessive gestures, a hand at the small of Winter's back, fingers wrapped around her wrist, the way he boxes her in against walls, serve as constant reminders of the physical and emotional control he seeks to maintain. Winter's responses, from subtle flinches to deliberate provocations, create a continuous undercurrent of tension that drives the narrative forward. The power dynamics extend beyond the bedroom, with every touch and glance becoming laden with meaning. Adrian's possessive gestures, a hand at the small of Winter's back, fingers wrapped around her wrist, the way he boxes her in against walls, serve as constant reminders of the physical and emotional control he seeks to maintain. Winter's responses, from subtle flinches to deliberate provocations, create a continuous undercurrent of tension that drives the narrative forward. The novel builds toward a shocking revelation that reframes everything that came before. When Winter finally manages to meet the mysterious Shadow Man, who's been sending her cryptic messages in the abandoned warehouse on Blackwood Street, he reveals himself as Luca, Adrian's former head of security, and delivers a truth that shatters her understanding of reality. Winter is actually Leah Volkov, Adrian's wife, sent to assassinate him. The carefully constructed facade of Winter's identity crumbles in this pivotal moment, illuminated by the harsh fluorescent lights of the warehouse. This twist forces readers to reconsider every interaction, every memory, and every nightmare from a new perspective. The woman Winter saw in the hospital bed wasn't Leah, it was Maria Santos, a decoy used to convince Winter of her separate identity. The nightmares weren't random trauma responses, but suppressed memories trying to surface. The weapons training in Prague, the marriage ceremony in Monaco, the first assassination attempt in Berlin. The mission, the Shadow Man referred to, wasn't escape, but murder, meticulously planned over months of psychological conditioning. Small details scattered throughout the narrative take on new significance. The mysterious scars on Winter's body match exactly with Leah's documented injuries. Her inexplicable knowledge of high society etiquette and fluency in Russian suddenly makes sense. Even her visceral reaction to Adrian's cologne, which she attributed to fear, was actually muscle memory from their intimate past. The ancient superstition about doppelgangers takes on new meaning. Winter and Leah aren't two separate people meeting, they're the same person fragmented by trauma or manipulation. The recurring symbol of shattered mirrors throughout the novel becomes a powerful metaphor for this fractured identity, each shard reflecting a different version of the same truth. The twist raises profound questions about identity and consciousness. If Winter believes herself to be Winter, with Winter's memories and emotions, does learning she's actually Leah negate that identity? Can a person be defined by a past they don't remember? The novel suggests identity is not fixed, but fluid, shaped by our experiences, memories, and relationships, even when those elements are built on deception. Winter's genuine love for Adrian, developed during her time as his protector, conflicts with Leah's programmed mission to destroy him, creating a complex exploration of how authentic emotions can emerge from artificial circumstances. This revelation transforms the novel from a story about a woman fighting to maintain her identity into one about a woman who has forgotten who she truly is, or perhaps, more accurately, about a woman who must reconcile two competing versions of herself. The question becomes not which identity is real, but whether both identities might represent equally valid aspects of a single complex person. Throughout the novel, Winter exhibits complex signs of what might be considered Stockholm syndrome, developing positive feelings toward her captor despite the danger and control he represents. Her psychological response manifests in multiple ways. She begins to find physical comfort in Adrian's arms, experiences anxiety when he's away, and feels unexpected jealousy when she suspects he might be seeing another woman. These responses illustrate the intricate psychological adaptations that can emerge in prolonged captivity situations, where the lines between captor and protector become increasingly blurred. The psychological complexity deepens as Winter navigates her conflicting emotions. She finds herself anticipating Adrian's return, taking pride in preparing meals he enjoys, and even defending his actions to herself at times. Yet what prevents this from becoming a simplistic portrayal of Stockholm syndrome is Winter's sustained internal resistance. Even as her body responds to Adrian's touch and she forms genuine emotional connections with Jeremy, she maintains an unwavering determination to escape. She strategically leverages Adrian's desire for her to negotiate small freedoms, taking Jeremy to the park, requesting books, or earning limited access to the garden. Perhaps most significantly, she continues to assert her real name, even when it results in punishment, maintaining this crucial connection to her true identity despite the consequences. The novel masterfully explores how captivity warps perception of time and reality. Winter observes how quickly she adapts to regular meals after a life of scarcity, how Adrian's mansion transforms from an alien prison to a familiar space, how the daily routines of captivity begin to feel normal. These observations highlight how humans normalize even the most extreme circumstances as a survival mechanism. The morning coffee ritual, the evening meals, the scheduled walks in the garden all become anchor points in her new reality, demonstrating how the mind creates structure and meaning even within the context of imprisonment. The psychological impact extends beyond Winter's relationship with Adrian. Her interactions with Jeremy reveal another layer of complexity, the formation of genuine attachments under duress. She struggles with guilt over finding moments of joy with him, knowing these positive feelings emerge from a fundamentally traumatic situation. The novel explores how trauma bonds form, not just with captors, but with fellow captives, creating complicated emotional landscapes that defy simple categorization. Through Winter's experience, the story illuminates how survival often requires a delicate balance between adaptation and resistance. She learns to navigate this precarious psychological terrain, maintaining her core identity while developing the coping mechanisms necessary for survival. This nuanced portrayal shows how captivity situations can create seemingly contradictory responses, both resistance and attachment, fear and comfort, hatred and dependency, all coexisting within the same person's psyche. The novel concludes with a masterfully crafted cliffhanger that propels readers toward the trilogy's next installment. Winter slash Leah's discovery of her true identity creates a cascade of questions that ripple through every relationship and plot thread established in the story. The revelation that she may be the same woman lying comatose in the hospital, yet somehow also walking, talking, and living a separate life, challenges our fundamental understanding of the narrative. This twist forces readers to reevaluate every interaction, every memory, and every emotion experienced throughout the book. The central mystery of Leah's mission becomes even more intriguing when viewed through this new lens. Who would have the resources and influence to create such an elaborate deception? The implications stretch beyond mere criminal conspiracy into questions of advanced medical technology, memory manipulation, and the possibility of deep state involvement within the Bratwurst power structure. The fact that she was specifically tasked with killing Adrian, her possible husband, suggests layers of betrayal that extend far beyond personal vendettas. Jeremy's storyline introduces another dimension of complexity. As the son of potentially estranged parents, his future hangs precariously in the balance. His character serves as a poignant reminder of how personal deceptions can devastate innocent bystanders. The question of his fate, whether he'll become a pawn in the power struggle or find stability amid the chaos, adds emotional weight to the broader conflict. The revelation about Winter/Leah's true identity transforms her relationship with Adrian from a passionate romance between strangers into something far more complicated. If they are indeed married, every intimate moment they've shared takes on new significance. Their relationship must now navigate not only the present dangers, but also the weight of a shared past that only one of them remembers. This dynamic creates rich potential for exploring themes of trust, forgiveness, and the question of whether love can transcend betrayal. The broader implications for the Bratwurst organization suggest impending power struggles that will reshape the criminal underground. Someone with enough influence to orchestrate such an elaborate scheme must hold significant power within or adjacent to the Brotherhood. This sets up potential conflicts between old guard leadership and emerging threats, with various factions likely to emerge as the story continues. The loyalty of every character, from high-ranking Bratwurst members to seemingly peripheral figures, comes into question. Vow of Deception concludes by challenging readers' assumptions about the nature of identity and truth. The story suggests that memories, our most personal possessions, can be weaponized, altered, or completely fabricated. In this world of shadows and deception, even the most intimate relationships might be carefully constructed lies. The final pages leave readers grappling with philosophical questions about the nature of self. If our memories shape who we are, what happens when we can't trust even those?